All right. So with that out of the way, it is my pleasure to introduce Philip, who will be talking about pager systems. Now, many of you undoubtedly are on call in one way or another, but typically we take the easy way out and we use apps like PagerDuty or, you know, whatever other delivery mechanism. But Philip's actually going to talk about these things, like actual physical pagers and the state of security in this ecosystem. So please give a warm round of applause for Philip.
Hi, thanks for having me here. Well, it's really fun to have Secure introducing me. And yeah, so tonight I'm going to talk about the Code Brown in the air. So why Code Brown? So Code Brown is a medical lingual spoken by EMS and emergency room personnel to demote a patient who is incontinent of feces. In simple words, someone shit. Yep. So. Why pagers? It's such an old technique. So why we're talking about pagers here? Because we want to make pagers great again. No. Actually, pagers are extensively used in the United States and Canada. To be short, it's North America. And it's used in Germany as well. It's mainly integrated with healthcare systems, the workflow system, and we have things like SMS to pager gateway and email to pager gateway that makes a systemic and systematic failure possible. And in this talk, I would like to deliver less about the protocol, because I think most of you know things about the SDR, and this is a CCC conference, so I shouldn't be more technical than you guys, but we can look more on the data. And there's legal disclaimer. So it might be illegal in some country to sniff and store the data. For example, the United States. It's OK to listen to the radio and try to decode something, but you cannot store it. So NSA had thought of a workaround. We just work on the metadata, and things are all right. And the second thing is that in some countries, you cannot sniff and you cannot store the data, which means I'm not sure what's the situation in Germany right now. If it's allowed to kind of sniff the radio, maybe not. Yep. And in some countries, it's OK to listen to unencrypted data. But if you kind of decrypt encoded data, that's illegal. OK, so in doubt, consult your lawyer. So some of you might say, it's 2016, so who in the hell is using this kind of old technique? Well, the thing is that in some places, you want to avoid some interference, like in the hospitals in the United States. They want to avoid interferences. So if you have money to buy some better equipment, more modern equipment, they always come with some magnetic shield that is compatible with 3G or LTE networks. But for some other equipment, it might be there might be some interference. Or there might be some places like plants, chemical plants, that signals are just weak. You cannot use your cell phone. Or there's some special places like government contractors, defense industry, military industry, where some like devices with the recording or transmission capacity is strictly prohibited. So you need some alternations. And in Germany as well, you have something like City Roof. It's still in use. And you can still buy this kind of pager. So actually, that's one of the pages I kind of listened to in in Germany. I don't understand why the message is in English anyhow. And you can just read it. So this is the agenda of today. I would first talk about a little bit about the protocols, and then how it is used in health sectors, hospitals, how it's used in industrial sectors, and then government, and then we'll talk about how to spoof it. So, pagers. It's first invented in like in 1950s. You just pay like $12 a month and you get a service of 20 miles of coverage. That's quite neat. But the pagers wasn't hot until 1990s. But it has been there for only like 10 years. And after 10 years, everyone uses a cell phone. So Motorola stops making new pagers in 2001. But hey, it was once a symbol of cool. People have invented so many numerical expressions to say, hey, I love you, I miss you, goodbye, kisses, and go to hell. Well, it's good old time, right? So this is a POCSAC protocol. It's mostly used in most countries all over the world, including Germany. And it's like a 512 or 1200 bit per second. And the most important thing is that the bandwidth is 9 kilohertz. So we can practically recognize this kind of signal in the waterfall that we will see later. And another protocol, another main protocol is Flex. Flex is invented by Motorola. So it's a little bit faster and a little bit more efficient in bandwidth. And well, since we don't want to really build things from scratch and these protocols are kind of complicated, you can always use utilities like GNU Radio or RTL FM or multi-mode NG to decode and demodulate all these kind of signals. So we're using that as well. So these are the frequencies, but you don't really need to copy it. You can find it on Wikipedia. OK, so this is our setup. With only $20 or 20 euros, you can buy such a DVB-T USB dongle. You plug into your computer, run GNU Radio, and everything's done. So easy. And if you are rich enough, you can buy some fancy stuff like this, HackRF1, and probably with a B210 or Blade RF. That's cool as well, but well, the $20 thing is good enough. And once it's all connected, you can use GQRX. So I would like to thank the authors of GQRX and GNU Radio and all Smallcom guys all over there. I have met them in room 15 here in CCC. So that's pretty cool. They have open sourced everything, so you can just grab them for use it for free. And as this signal here, this one is POCSAG. And how do I know? Because it's you can see the bandwidth. It's a 9 kilohertz, and you see the two points there. So you know it's like FSK. It's a frequency shifting thing. So in doubt, check this sigidwiki.com. It's pretty useful. And for flex signals, we just use a this guy, Clayton Smith, has written a really cool piece of software called pagerrx.python. Just run it, and it kind of sniffs multiple bands at the same time. And we have kind of conducted our research for 4 months, from February to June, and we we observed 18 million alphanumerical messages. Yeah. So let's look at the data. So how the data are used? Actually, it is integrated in most hospitals in the United States, like in nurse or workflow management, or between the communication between the doctor and the pharmacy. And sometimes you see personal messages as well. So let's just look in the data. Every time when there's some event happened, someone called 911, and a message is transferred to some place. Like you can read here, there is a type called EMS, so it's an emergency thing. Someone has a chest pain at the same time. Or you can have some advanced thing, like someone who is a 91-year-old female. There's some AED used. So she's being transferred to some place, being treated by Dr. Who, and at some hospital, and her date of birth is MMDDYYYY, and there's pre-diagnosis before she arrives. So with this kind of information, they can better coordinate with the hospital and be prepared for surgery or a proper bed for the patient. So that kind of reduces the waiting time, increases patient satisfaction. Sort of, yeah. If you see the medical treatments as a service, there can be a satisfaction. Okay. And it improves efficiency in like administering discharge, or you can make an appointment with your doctor for a in-house service, in-house treatment, things like that. And we can see something like a Navicare system and CuraSpan system. We just named these two, but it's not limited to the brand. For example, in Navicare, you can see like it's transporting on some patient whose medical reference number is such and such, from ED, from emergency department, to some exam room, and then the patient is transferred to CPC, chest pain center. Then status is what? Admitted to Doctor Who, diagnosis is chest pain, things like that. So you might think, it is all about personal data, my personal identifiable data. It's quite scary, but it's not limited to this kind of thing. For example, we have an InQuicker. InQuicker is a little bit more cautious. It uses like abbreviations, the first letters of the patient's names. That's good. But then it gives you a URL, like just visit this URL. Yeah, then you can see something. But actually, they ask for an ID and a password. But you know, they usually use one single ID and password in the whole hospital. So you might know something that you are not authorized to know. Or like this, abscess. This is from this red arrow, you see the thing is a MRN, medical reference number. And among all the data we have seen, it's about 7% from Navicare and 7% from McKinsey and RRX. So you can kind of guess the marketing share of all these workflow systems in the hospitals. But just be careful because the data might be biased. Some message can be sent like in a group call. In a group call, it can be sent once to a wildcard number, or it can be sent like 13 times to 13 different numbers. So if in that kind of duplicated numbers, you get the biased data. And we didn't clean that because that's simply not necessary. And with this personal identifiable data, we got like email, medical terms, English names, syndromes, diagnosis, medicine on FDA drug list, phone numbers, especially phone numbers, because sometimes the patients want to have an in-house care, so they leave the number in the system. We might not see that. Yeah. And we can make interesting statistics on top medical terms that we have seen in the pages, like a flap. they're quite interested in your veins, or EKG, they're interested in the heart, or sepsis, X-ray, things like that. But we see other messages like how doctors communicate with the pharmacy, and they have kind of placed the order on what kind of medicine should be delivered to which room. So with this kind of data, we see a different picture. It's not about your heart or your vein, it's more about like a Avotor or Tylenol. So it's about a painkiller and bronchodilator. And we see something. These are from the United Kingdom. It's about organ donors. So it's a donor number, which number, and donor's hospital name, donor's name. And this great donor is a female, 49 years old. It's a donation after cardiac death. And the offer is to a patient who. Actually, this makes a very serious ethic issues, because usually we don't want to let the one who gets this this human organ know who the donor is, because that might be something might be something like you're trading an organ or things like that. So it can be very serious. And we see something like home care. Oh, okay, this is the example of home care. So it's like, please call patient at home, his or her home. The phone number is like this, and for some syndrome, and he or she wants to take a steroid, but not prednisolone. Or we see someone's dead, and actually we have checked the local newspaper, and he's dead. So, and one of the most serious thing we see is the caller ID system. The caller ID system is that whenever you make a phone call, it looks up in an internal phone book and shows who's calling whom, and who, with the name and the number. So, if you kind of observe this pages for quite a long time, you can compose your own yellow pages. And that's made things worse. And we will see that in a minute. So, industrial. We see many industries using this SMS to pager gateway, maybe because they want to receive some alerts from SMS, but then they found that the SMS might not be delivered to their cell phones, so they use this kind of gateway to transfer it to the pages that might be used in the plants. And for example, you see this from SMS thing, that number is a calling number. And you have the missed call from someone, that's a caller number. So here you can make a correlation between caller and callee. And you can make a phone book too. And the example here, if we got the same number, like number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, are exactly the same number, and the message is so brief, it's just call me, and you see they have some tight relationship. And Call Express have this speech-to-text summary that just like a Google service, it transcribes the voice message to a text and send it to your SMS. So in this case, it's sent to the pages. So it's visible if someone is kind of listening to the radio. So, and we have seen the examples of using the email to pager gateway, like who's calling will send email if there's some missed call. And we have a web control, it's a built-in automation system from Automatic Logic, and Metasys is a built-in automation system for Johnson Controls. And here we see something interesting. For web control, it's not it's just okay. We don't really care if your chiller is running or not. But for Metasys, they have something called FQR. FQR is a fully qualified references, which means, and you see, this is our AHU, and this code means where in what facility this thing is installed. So it's across the United States. You can pinpoint which this code is denoted to. You can find the proper place. And sometimes they have it written down in the email address. So these are all redacted, but you see some chemical manufacturer, some defense contractor, some university, some medical center. You can name them. They're all big brands. So I don't want to be sued, so I mask them. Yep. Okay. So, and IT industry is using this kind of techniques as well. So you get a WhatsApp gold, you get Nagios, NetBIOS name, SQL queries, PHP errors. I've been doing pen testing for some time, and this kind of passive intelligence is really valuable to me. So thank you for the information. And sometimes the passcode is here. Let's change the password. That's not a real passcode, but I made it. But the message is real. And sometimes you have the two-factor authentication, and the code is here. Like your passcode is XX0923. So what Outlook web app is for. And these messages are from McAfee IntroShield. I'm not saying against McAfee, but actually, this is a list of CVE that this next generation intrusion prevention system has found. And they're doing a good job. At least they're blocking this kind of CVE. But what if this kind of CVE is happening in a national lab? Kind of serious? And we have things from power plants, like the thing is that the turbine that stops working was actually in the nuclear plant. So that's something serious. And what if the nuclear plants lost the AC power? It uses like on batteries or on generators, right? So this kind of incidents are reported incidents. So if you are a journalist, you might be interested in cross-check if they have filed this incident in a nuclear agency. So yeah, what if they haven't fired them? And we have found things in chemical plants. I have to say sorry that I don't know anything about chemical industry, so I cannot extract useful information like I did in IT. But you see some stack dump of some PLC. Yep. So if you are an expert here, that might be useful to you. And from the messages, we can find where exactly the chemical plant is. You see this river and this Google satellite map. Yep. I cannot tell you where it is, but you can try to find it. Yep. These are just not very, and this is not meaningful to me. Some drum open, drum down. If you're working in the chemical industry, maybe you want to know some secret of your competitor. And it shows how their daily operation is like. And the last is a heating, ventilation, air conditioning system. It's okay. It's just a boiler and chiller and air condition on and off. It's not very a big deal. But what about the public sector? So public sector, that's government and its partners. So we have seen this. You guys go ahead. I'm eating here. Some name. Well, it's a personal message. It's not a big deal if it were not from a government agency. Yeah. If that's just between me and my colleague, that's no big deal. But hey, I'm leaving just in a minute to meet you somewhere. If you think of Kevin Mitnick, someone who's really good at doing social engineering, and he got this kind of useful information, hey, he can do a lot of things. Yeah. And so here kicks in the caller ID system again. Like, someone from some national organization, he got a missed call from some people, and you can do a passive recognition. Like this one recon is, I should say she must be a secretary of some very big guy. She's saying, okay, JW Marriott is only $300 a night, you want to go for it? So she's sending a lot of messages out, and we can see that. And what if you want to impersonate her and send a message? There's something in design of this paging system, is that you cannot authenticate who the sender is. It's by design. So if you kind of impersonate this secretary and send some message to the big guy, he would believe it's you. And there's no way to make a two-way authentication like SSL or TLS. Okay, and this is a voicemail summary, the interesting thing. So actually, people are not aware that what they have said has been transcribed into a text and then sent via pages. So it's like, oh, he just missed your call. You want to tell me what's up? Give me a call, bye. And you can see more intimate messages if you are really keen to know everything. Yeah. And this is a recon. We can know who's calling whom, who's whose mother, who's whose sister, who's whose lover or girlfriend, whose husband is, and their family phone number. So it's something very, very serious when it goes to the government. And we can see the parcels. Well, actually, these are the tracking numbers of some parcels sent by some national defense contractors. We see the parcels going out from a given place, and we don't know who they are. We don't want to know. Yeah. So what if you're a Russian spy? No. If you're a Russian spy, you might know many things. But if you are a lame spy, this might help you. Yeah. Okay. So it's about... we have to prove we can actually send a page to this kind of tiny thing we bought on eBay. Yeah. So we bought two devices on eBay, and we know the cap code, we know the frequency they're working on. And again, thanks GNU Radio guys, we use this GR mix a lot, and with a really, really simple diagram, we can send the pages like this. So it's, hey, hack the planet, yay. And we can think of the attack scenarios, like sending pages to pharmacy to give you a wrong medicine, and when you took it, you got some problem. We can try to move the patient between the facilities, like move in and out and in and out and in and out until you're really bored. Yeah, and we can probably like declare an emergency in some facility so people evacuate, and that might cause some damage, real damage. Yep. Or we can impersonate someone, we can prevent to be a contractor, because I didn't show you, but there's some real name, real phone number, and contract number. So with contract number, you can pretend to be many, to be someone. Yeah. So here's a conclusion. Just stop using it. Yeah. Or if you really want to use it because you cannot avoid this kind of system, encrypt everything, just like you do in HTTP. You do everything in HTTPS, and that's better. And if you really have to, and you cannot encrypt everything, just don't leak personal information. You can use like the first letter of the names. Just don't spell the whole name. We have seen some really good system trying to avoid everything. And we see very good examples in Germany. Like German people are quite cautious about this kind of thing. And during these 2 days, at least these 2 days, I didn't see any real name. Yeah. And with small leaks, that doesn't do any harm, we can make a database and make it a real harm. So you can download our white papers from this URL, or you can just search leaking beefs from Google. You can get everything from us, and you can download the slides. And if you have something to tell us, if you want to discuss about how serious things could be, just find us on SJ Hilt and Melski on Twitter. So I think that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have some time for questions and answers. If you would like to leave the room, that's okay, but please take some trash out with you. And if you leave in the front, please duck under the camera. So if you have any questions, please line up at the microphones, which we have here. In the meantime, are there any questions from the internet? Seems like a no. Mm-hmm. So come on, guys, don't be shy. There's a question right here. Yes.
Yes.
Is there any commercially available encrypted paging system?
Yes, there is. Oh, actually, Spokes has this T5 system that you can buy. It's I haven't used that, so I cannot say it's good or not. But yes, there is.
Just to make sure I understand, I remember this pager time, and there the calls were receivable countrywide. Is this still so? Or so are these hospital staff send it locally within the hospital, or are they send it countrywide?
Oh, okay. Thank you for the question. Because they wanted to limit the signal strength within these buildings, but in fact they failed to do that. So it's like, you can still get this kind of messages like 10 or 20 miles away from the hospital. So, yeah.
All right, question in the back.
Yes?
Okay. Yeah, I also remember the time of the pages in the 90s. And from one day to the other, they were gone and call centers were closed. It was really, really incredible. I reckon that this was due to SMS. We had this GSM then coming up. So I have the impression that at that time, in Europe, SMS took over, and as far as I know, SMS is not that widespread in the US. So is there here in Europe less pager usage, or is there still a lot of pagers used here in Europe, especially in Germany?
That depends on the country, because you know Europe is quite complicated. Yeah. Well, no. All I can tell you is that the hospitals are not using paging systems in Germany. But the emergency sectors, sometimes the police and the fire department, are still using them. So if you tune up to the right frequency, you can get something. But not like this. Yeah, so it's not so scary. And someone told me that in Belgium, they're still using it quite a lot. But I haven't been there, so I cannot tell you.
And an additional question would be, you said Motorola was stopping production in 2001, was that correct?
Yeah.
But I understand that still these pages are produced and rolled out in new installations. Is this correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm not sure who made this new pages. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Now yes. is your chance. Yes, please.
Again, on the encryption. You spoke about there are encrypted systems, but is there anything to retrofit? I mean, nobody would buy another 200 new pagers to have encrypted ones. And you said encrypt the things, but how could I encrypt if I have like a hospital with my 2,000 people and I have to retrofit a solution?
I'm repeating for the stream, is there any encryption system that can be retrofitted?
Not as I know. Yeah. So the thing is, you're telling us why they are not replacing this kind of system for a safer system. Yep, nobody wants to invest on for another 200 new pages with this inscription systems. But well, I'm not sure if there are some pressure from the society. Maybe they will make a change.
All right. Do we have any other questions? If not, we're going to close. So thank you for attending. Please, when you leave, take out the trash and give another warm round of applause for Philip.